Someone has called Christian love the badge of discipleship. I think most of us can agree that when a person comes to Jesus Christ, he gives us a love that was never there before. The old nature gives little evidence of sincere love. In our study today, our Lord gives a new emphasis to an old commandment. We come to the concluding words of John chapter 13. It is an extremely moving portion, as Jesus will soon face the cross. Let me read verses 31 and 32. "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him.'" The cross was foremost in our Lord's mind, for it was there that God would be glorified in Christ, and God the Father would glorify God the Son. This prophecy was fulfilled the very next day as Christ went to the cross to be crucified between two thieves. Was there glory in such an ignominious death? Was it glory to hang naked 6 hours on a cross, suffering untold agony and anguish? For Jesus Christ, it was. This was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies regarding his sacrifice, as well as those he had given repeatedly during the 3.5 years of his public ministry. Small wonder that even years later, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Next, our Lord gave a very important message to his beloved disciples. He began with a term of unusual tenderness. Look at verse 33. "Little children." You know, this is the only time he ever used this expression. And then he said, "Yet a little while I am with you." The cross was only hours away. "Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." They had no idea what he meant. The expression, "ye shall seek me," literally is, "ye shall wonder. Ye shall be perplexed about my absence." The disciples would be as little children who lost their parents in a crowd. They would be greatly disturbed immediately after his death. But there was a message Christ had to leave with his own. Notice the next several verses. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Now this commandment was not new, but was centuries old. Moses declared in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." What it is, Christ gave a new emphasis to this divine truth that should mark the Christian church as being different from the legalistic Jews who ignored the commandment of love. Love among Christians was to be the kind that he demonstrated throughout all of his ministry. In just a matter of hours, the disciples saw this love exemplified as no one had ever seen it in the Old Testament dispensation. "For greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," John 15:13. It was in this same manner that Christ's followers were to love one another. This love for one another would be the badge of discipleship, easily recognizable. Discipleship is not primarily worship, Bible reading, prayer, or witnessing. The supreme test is love. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Christ had said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." This seemed to be too much for Peter's curiosity. So he asked in verse 36, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Our Lord did not say at the time where he was going, though he did give more detail later in the next chapter, John 14. He simply said, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter persisted in verse 37, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." It is obvious that Peter did not understand what our Lord was saying, nor did he realize what he himself was saying. Peter was bold in his assertion, but his flesh was so weak. Notice verse 38, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." Peter thought he would lay down his life for Christ, but when the real test came, he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." Christ had said in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In his denial, Peter was sifted as wheat. He was brought face to face with his own incapabilities. But when he saw his risen Lord, he came to a turning point in his life. And from that hour, he went forth as a mighty conqueror for Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, baptized with Pentecostal power, he stood before his audience as a mighty voice for God, and at least 3,000 people were converted. Later, Peter did follow Christ to the cross, but it was a different Peter than we see in John chapter 13. Only Jesus Christ can change us and make us what we should be. Have you allowed him to change your life? If not, he is ready and willing right now. I hope you'll let him work a miracle in your life. He is the miracle worker, and he can change your life. He can lift you from the darkness of sin into the glorious light of being a believer in him. And I hope you'll let him do it today. Friend, it's the only kind of life to live. There is no joy in living in sin. There is no pleasure in the world. All of this is found in Jesus Christ. You'll never know this until you let him come into your life. And the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You mean to say that God would receive me? You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. God does. And he still says he will forgive you because he loves you. That's what we've been talking about, the love of God. This far supersedes anything you or I know in this life. This love comes from heaven above. It's God's love, and he'll forgive you of all sin if you'll just bow to him and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins. Save me." Blessed Lord, help some to make that important decision. And for God's people, Lord, help us to show forth the love of God wherever we are. Help us to manifest this marvelous heaven-sent love. I pray that you'll have your way in each of our lives. Live through us. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.